Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. My name is Laura Jackson, and again, today I am flying solo because I have an awesome guest today, Dr. Cheryl Allen. How are you?
I'm good, Laura. How are you?
I'm awesome. So for those of you, you just heard this amazing introduction as to what Cheryl does and her specialty. I also actually have had the awesome pleasure of working with Cheryl for a while now. I'm co-oping with her, so watching her in action. You're truly like amazing at what you do, so I'm really excited to have you on here to share some insight.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so what we are talking about today is something that I know a lot of people listening are interested in, and that is hormonal health. So, you know, there's been so much now in the media and a lot more conversation and discussion around the tie between hormones and weight management or weight loss. But the one thing is that when it comes to the fitness industry, we don't tend to really have a true understanding about how to really even balance that, how to know if your hormones are imbalanced, what even are hormones? So I'm excited for you to come on and kind of like break that down for us and kind of get through some. There's a lot of myths and things going on too that I want to kind of break through. So before we get into that, I'm going to stop blabbing because I'd love for you just to start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into naturopathic medicine and what your passion is. So I'm going to let you roll with that.
Sure. So for me, I always passionate about preventative healthcare and love the idea of trying to allow the body to really heal itself as much as possible. So that led me down the path of dietetics. So I studied to be a dietitian, actually. And by the end of my program there, as much as I really loved everything I had learned about the body and physiology and how it all works so beautifully together, I was feeling a bit limited in kind of a one-size-fits-all meal plan approach for my patients. So I ended up going and studying at the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, and through that really was able to expand my treatment options for my patients to be much more individual. And that's what I truly love about naturopathic care, is that I can have five people come in with the same, you know, chief concern that they want to look at. And each of those people may end up with a completely different nutrition plan, completely different supplement plan, and a completely different approach. And that's what I love and I find challenging and rewarding and just so amazing about what we get to do. So in terms of why I ended up in, how I ended up in hormonal and women's health, kind of stems from my own personal story of dealing with my own hormonal issues and being, feeling like I didn't understand why my body was reacting the way it was back in my, I don't know now, maybe late teens, early 20s, and being slapped on a birth control pill as my only option. Only to find that I ended up with a new slew of side effects and felt like I had no understanding of my body or what was going on. And that was a real wake-up call for me to really start understanding what's going on in my body so that I could take control of what was going on. And so that's kind of how I frame my treatment plans for clients, is around empowering them to understand first what's going on with their hormones so that we can make informed choices about their treatments.
Well, that's what I find it so fascinating that you say that, because, you know, we on our podcast, on this, on Fit Chicks Chat podcast, we interview a lot of different fitness, nutrition, and health professionals that are women. And I always like to start off asking, you know, tell us your story, a little bit, how you got into this industry. And every time it's usually from their own personal issues. They usually ended up having, you know, hormonal issues or eating, or an eating disorder or going through their own weight loss transformation. So it's really interesting to hear that, you know, even for you, that like this, that's where it stemmed from, was your own issues. And the other thing too, we talk a lot about is the birth control pill, which, which is a whole different beast.
Yeah. We could talk about that for a long time.
but that's where, I guess I want to start off too, because I know, like you were saying, you were slapped on this birth control pill when you were in your teens, where before you had an understanding of your body. And, you know, even now there's women who are, you know, 40 years old listening to this and being like, they don't even know what's actually going on in their bodies. So I'd love to kind of start off breaking it down really simply before we get into how hormones affect weight loss. Just even, what are hormones?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you're so right. We can go through so many years just kind of, you know, existing and not really questioning what is going on behind the scenes until something goes wrong, meaning you have a symptom, which just a symptom really meaning is your body showing that there's an imbalance somewhere and needs a little more detective work to figure out what's going on. But oftentimes it's hormones that are that underlying piece. So a good way to think about hormones in general is that really they are signalers in our body. So they're kind of the body's message delivery system. So they will themselves kind of go around to different parts in the body and set off different reactions in certain areas in the body and within the cells themselves. So another thing to keep in mind is that their reach is vast and they interact with each other constantly. So as we go through today, I'm sure that this will become clear that no one hormone works alone. They work together and in concert with each other. So this can work for our benefit. So when we're feeling well, that's a good sign that all these hormones are supporting each other and allowing each other to work in the best way possible. But when one hormone system tends to get off balance, it tends to trigger this kind of domino effect, right? Where we'll see now this other system is off, and trying to kind of roll it back and figure out what's going on at the root cause of this can be really tricky. And also frustrating for the person who's going through it, because it can seem really overwhelming and confusing to figure out what's going on.
Well, and I love that. I always think about hormones too, like almost, they're almost like a symphony, like playing together. Like you can't, you need to have everybody on the same page to make beautiful music. And like, if the trombone is off, for example, your estrogen, then you know what I mean? It's throwing off the entire, and you're not making beautiful music. So it's like, it's like a team effort. So then why, okay, well, again, keeping it pretty simple, why is hormonal health so important for weight loss? And for weight management, especially for women.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about weight management, what we can't really start that conversation without talking about the thyroid. Okay. So in terms of the thyroid, you can kind of think of it as one of these, what we call these master hormones, where it has an effect on basically every single system of the body, which is, you know, no small feat. And the thyroid controls our body's overall metabolic rate. So what that means is it will kind of determine how fast certain processes are happening within the body overall. And that's going to lend itself to, you know, are you going to be someone who's more likely to store calories versus burning calories? Are you going to be more likely to build muscle or to store fat? So you can see that it's going to have a huge role. And that's the same for men and women. But in women in particular, because we are more, let's say, intricate creatures.
They're amazing. We're like unicorns, mystical creatures. Men are like, what do I do with this mystical creature?
So we have more hormones that affect other hormones. So we've got an interplay between estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and because of these the having more hormones involved in our system. And these hormones also play with the thyroid in terms of affecting whether, how well it's functioning overall. That for women, there, it's just more of a complex picture that needs to be looked at when we're talking about weight loss or weight management.
Well, it's interesting. And I mean, so just even to start that then with the thyroid gland, mm-hmm. So is there specific hormones that are from the thyroid gland that are involved with weight loss, weight management? Is there, like, what hormones are the ones that are involved, and then how does the thyroid kind of tie into all of that?
Mm-hmm. So what your thyroid does is it produces a hormone called T4. And this hormone, you may have seen it on blood work if you've had blood work done for your thyroid. And usually that would mean you were going in complaining of either weight gain or tiredness, fatigue, hair loss, constipation. All of those symptoms would kind of alert your healthcare provider to check your thyroid levels. So T4 is the first hormone that your thyroid gland will produce, and it really doesn't do a whole lot in the body. It circulates around and acts as kind of a reserve to be converted into its more active form, which is T3. And T3 is that hormone that does all the things that we kind of associate with good metabolic function. So we're talking about good energy. We're talking about your hair, your skin, your nails, growing well, looking vibrant. We're talking about mood and feeling well and not depressed or anxious. We're talking about good weight management, good bowel motility, so not being constipated, having regular at least daily bowel movements, all those things.
Cheryl, I love that you brought up poop, because I love talking about poop. No, because it's so true. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's just such a sign of what is going on in your body. But so many people just still think it's like, well, that's just me. I go to the bathroom once a week.
That's right. And it's and you would maybe not think, my bowel motility would have more to do with my diet and less to do with my hormones. But, and it's not to say it doesn't have anything to do with diet. It does for sure. But it's important to keep in mind that even a sign as small as I'm not going to the bathroom very often could be a sign that the thyroid is out of balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So just stay on that. So the T4 then,
yes,
it turns into T3 in the body.
Yeah.
So then if somebody's thyroid's imbalanced, are they not producing T4 or are they not?
Good question. So it can actually be one of two things. So it could be that the thyroid gland is simply not producing enough T4, and that can happen for a variety of reasons, which we can talk about a little bit. One being inflammation in the body, and so when we talk about diet and nutrition, how that can play a role. Inflammation, or your body being your immune system being actually imbalanced, in that it is attacking the thyroid gland itself, can cause lower levels of this T4. And if you don't have enough T4, you sure aren't going to have enough T3. So that's one situation. The other situation is something I see more commonly, and that's an issue in converting that T4, so that inactive hormone, into the active form, or T3. And often this doesn't get it doesn't flag on a standard screening blood work, because oftentimes we don't do that full T4, T3 blood panel. And so you would still have all the same symptoms as you would assume, because we still don't have enough of that T3 getting to the cells to do all that good stuff we talked about with energy, overall metabolic rate, all that good stuff. But it doesn't show up on the standard screening blood work. So often that will leave clients feeling very frustrated, because you know if you go online and you're looking at a list of signs that your thyroid isn't functioning properly, they can check off all those boxes, but nothing shows up on blood work.
Well, and this is where I find it very interesting too, because especially in the fitness industry, you know, a lot of things that are being promoted in terms of weight loss for women are still these fat burning pills, are still, you know, calorie counting. They're not really focused on what types of foods to eat, which that puts a lot of stress on the thyroid as well, I would assume.
Yes, it does. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a common first option for women especially, I think, because a lot of these products are marketed towards us women, that it's marketed as something that's going to be fast, it's going to be effective. And I mean, understandably, women are feeling frustrated because they go to the doctor, everything appears normal. And so they're looking for that. There's got to be some solution. I may as well try this. But what ends up happening is it actually, when we talked about that inflammation, really what we're talking about is adding stress to a system. So a lot of these fat burners, highly caffeinated, stimulating products can cause more inflammation and strain on the thyroid and actually cause some lasting damage, both directly to the thyroid gland, but also to our body's kind of stress regulating pathways, which brings in another hormone system, which is the adrenal glands.
Yes. And that is, like, I'm happy you brought that up, because I was going to ask you, because that, again, adrenals as well. And I know adrenals and thyroid have, they're like BFFs.
Yeah. Or their worst enemies.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was saying. I'm like, it's like, they're almost like best friends that fall out every once in a while.
That's right.
They have a fight once in a while and then they're back together. And when things are good, they're good. And when things are bad, they're really bad.
They're really bad.
But like, this is where it's, to me, it's very interesting, because a lot of women I find too, and I know a lot of people, women who listen to our podcast are, you know, getting into their 40s, but we do have a lot of women too in their 20s. And this is where, you know, a lot of these fat burners, a lot of these things are coming at them as a quick fix. And they're thinking, well, I'm healthy, I'm young, I can do it once, I can do it twice. But we've got to think about the long-term effects of it. And that's why I'm so happy that we're not just talking about, okay, balances for weight loss, but like understanding these are the glands you need to take care of, because if you maybe have short-term weight loss, well, you can screw it up for the long-term, because they need to be supported. And there's only so much they can take. Like, I've literally seen girls doing fitness competitions who have like torched their thyroid from these types of fat burning pills. Even just taking T3, like things that are just insane. Yes. That now they've kind of screwed themselves for life, not knowing, because they're being told by coaches that it's okay. So that was my rant. I tend to rant every once in a while.
And that's all, the whole thing about holistic healthcare too, is that we're looking at prevention in the long term too. You know, we're trying to not only improve your health for this moment right now, but encourage proper hormone balance for years to come, because as we mentioned at the beginning, thyroid hormone has an effect on every single cell in the body. And if we have a negative effect on that system in your 20s, I mean, the effects of thyroid on the body are so far reaching, all the way to, now we know that even depression and anxiety are linked to poor thyroid function. And so to think of it in that very short term and overstimulate it, causing damage in your 20s is not what we're looking for in terms of preventative long-term holistic healthcare.
So that's where, stay on that then. So if right now, just say you already maybe did some damage in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you know, you want to support your thyroid. And also now we just brought up the adrenals, which I'd like you to explain what those are first, because it's funny, because adrenals are almost like a buzzword right now.
Yeah.
In fitness, but not a lot of people know what they actually are.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about them. Give a little overview first. So your adrenal glands, in terms of their location, they're hanging out on top of your kidneys. So they're two little glands sitting on top of your kidneys. And what they are involved in is, they do a whole lot, but we say that they're involved in the stress response. So if there was some immediate stress, we always use the example of some tiger running into the building, the adrenal glands are going to get fired up. They're going to produce adrenaline, which is your short-term, fast-acting stress hormone. And what adrenaline does is it ramps up your blood sugar level. It gives you energy, and depending on whether you're going to decide to fight that tiger or run away from it, you're going to have the energy to do that. So that's the short-term hormones, so adrenaline, that sort of thing. There's also cortisol, which is more of a long-term acting hormone. Now, it's going to be there whether there's a tiger in the room or whether you're on a beach. Your body needs cortisol every day to function and to be, I mean, it's a hormone that's vital to life. But what can happen is that after periods of chronic stress, that can lead your body to produce more cortisol over the course of the day, just more in general. Or if you're in a period of more exhaustion or burnout, in that situation, you end up having not enough cortisol. And what you need, and this is not unique to cortisol, this is pretty across the board for all hormones, is too much or too little is not a good thing. Being in that sweet spot is where you want to be. So I often see people who are either in chronic stress or who have come out on the other side and now are exhausted, either one can present a problem because that cortisol is not where it should be. And we know, bringing it back to the thyroid, that we need that right amount of cortisol to allow that thyroid hormone to be converted into its active or more usable T3 form and for it to actually be used within the cells. So when you're saying BFFs, that's kind of how they work together. But you can see if one of them is off, that's when we've got the frenemies or
the frenemies. Mean girls.
Yeah.
So then how would somebody, just even today, without going to see a naturopathic doctor or going to a doctor, just even start to be able to support these two glands and the hormones that they produce?
Yeah. So one thing is in terms of lifestyle, and I mean, this is kind of easier said than done, but taking an honest look at your lifestyle. And sometimes that's hard for us as women. We can be very, I know for myself, I can want to do it all. I've got kids, I've got a job, and I've got things that I want to do in addition to all that. And I can take on too much. And so it's not to say that I love all of those things, that I'm not going to choose to do that, but I need to balance that out. So I need to make sure first off that I'm getting enough sleep. Sleep is the time where, we all know what sleep is and that your body is kind of rejuvenating while you sleep. But in terms of your adrenal glands, that's the time where your cortisol levels are going to be going from their lowest point in the day, and they're going to kind of regenerate up to the point in the morning, which will be the highest point that they will be for the course of that day. So for adrenal repair and health, sleep is a really, really important thing. And a question that I always ask my clients is how is their sleep? And are they getting a full restful night's sleep? Often when cortisol or the adrenals are an issue, the classic symptom is waking up around between 2 and 4 in the morning. And that is just showing an imbalance of that cortisol pathway. So it's like you're getting a surge of energy in the middle of the night, because that's exactly what's happening at that point. But sleep is key. The other thing is just to make sure you're balancing out your busy lifestyle with doing more quiet, restorative practices. So that may be yoga, that may be meditation, prayer, like something to help balance out all that busy energy.
Well, that's something that I'm so happy you bring up, though, because I still think, you know, especially now, we're so in the society of like, grind harder, hustle harder. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, go, go, go. And like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I'm like, well, you're going to be dead if you don't sleep. not to make it sound morbid or serious, but it's true. And I do. And like, you know, I've worked with you. I watch you. You are a machine. Like I always say to you, I don't know how the heck you do everything you do, plus be an amazing mom to your kids. Like it's crazy. But you know, like it's one of those things where, to being honest, like you said, I'm being conscious of how much output you have and how much you're filling your cup back up. like, I don't even have kids, and I feel like I'm sometimes like, whoa, I need to go into self-care mode.
Yeah.
So when you're saying, so those are awesome ideas for self-care. I love to, like, nature, walking out in nature, just unplugging from social media because it's too overstimulating. But the one thing for sleep, when you're saying sleep, there's a lot of conflicting time of how long people should sleep for. So, you know, kind of the rule of thumb that I go with is 7 to 9 hours. Now, is that correct?
Yeah, I would say that's a good rule of thumb. There were some interesting papers that came out, it was probably a couple of years ago now, just talking about how there are some people that can get away, well, say get away with, but can function well and be, like, if they actually look at different metabolic features that happen with a good night's sleep, with less, but they are not the norm. So a good question, a good rule of thumb would be, yes, 7 to 9 hours, but also what's the quality of that sleep? So I know a lot of my patients that are sleeping for, like, they're in their beds for 9 hours or maybe more, but they may be getting up to go to the washroom 3 or 4 times. They may be waking up, like I said, between that 2 to 4 in the morning. And from then on, they don't really fall back asleep. All those things can contribute to not being as rested and not having the adrenals and cortisol be where we want it to be in the morning. So a good, another follow-up question that I always ask is, and how do you feel in the morning? You know, if you're feeling well rested and your energy is stable and maintaining throughout the day, you're not getting that, you know, after lunch crash, those are all really good signs that you're getting enough sleep for your body.
Well, and that's where, like, I just also read an article recently about they were studying people who sleep alone versus sleeping with another human being. And just how the amount of not good sleep you get when you're sleeping with somebody else, just because even when they shift and you slightly wake up, when you're, you know, waking up during that stage 3-4 of your sleep cycle where your body's rejuvenating itself, and that's where, you know, healing, your muscles are built and your organs are regenerating, and you're never getting there. You're waking up, because I can't remember how many times you're supposed to hit that cycle. I think it's like 9 times in a night.
Yeah, it's quite a few.
Yeah, and then, you know, because your partner's shifting or whatnot, it, like, can totally throw you off. So, like, separate bedtime. It's time for separate beds.
And kids, like, the number of times, like, I wake up in the bed that I went to sleep in is rare.
Yeah, especially with kids. You're like, oh, yeah. you're like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears jumping from bed to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's lifestyle. And then what about food-wise to support these hormones and glands?
Mm-hmm. So now an important thing to remember with when we're talking about any kind of hormone imbalance is, so where does our body even make any of these hormones? So most hormones are actually steroid-based, meaning they come from like cholesterol or fats. And that's how they are created. Like, those are the building blocks that we are putting into our body that allows our body to make these hormones. So in terms of of foods, what we want to make sure that you're getting is actually enough healthy fats. So that's one thing that I am still working on educating people about, because I think we're kind of out of the dark in terms of that, you know, 1990s low fat craze that we unfortunately all went through, to really seeing the benefit of good healthy fats in our diet, and that it can't be seen more than when we're talking about hormones. So good healthy fats is huge. Another thing is cutting out the carbohydrates. So it doesn't mean we have to there's different kind of versions of what that means. But when we're consuming too many carbohydrates, that's going to stimulate or bring in other hormones into the mix that can throw things off again. So too much carbohydrates is going to stimulate the insulin pathway. And that pathway tends to be a store cascade of hormones that are released there. So at least in the short term, as we're getting hormones rebalanced, I usually will bring down the carbohydrates, make sure that the fats and proteins are adequate.
So when, for some examples of healthy fats, are you talking more of the omega-3 fats? So like the chia, the flax, the fish oils, or would that also be things like coconut oil, avocados, you know, or just either or?
Yeah, it would actually be all of those things. All of those things would be wonderful additions to the diet. And even as much as everything needs to be in moderation, but even animal fats, because they're a natural source of cholesterol, so eggs included in that, those are going to be direct building blocks to those steroid hormones too. So plant-based and animal-based for optimal hormone balance, yes.
And is there any other specific foods, like I know for thyroid health, you know, a lot of foods that are higher in iodine.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like your sea vegetable, seaweed, kelp. I'm trying to think what else has iodine in it. It's mostly
sea vegetables. Mostly sea vegetables. And because we're inland where we don't tend to get as much iodine. So that's always a question that I will get in terms of, do I need to be supplementing with iodine since I'm not consuming as much sea vegetables or iodine rich foods? And some of our foods that we get in our food supply are, supplemented themselves with iodine. For example, like typical table salt is, but often, at least when I'm working with clients, we end up talking about kind of moving away from basic salt to like a sea salt or something like that, which typically does not have iodine in it. So anyway, all that to say, emphasizing those sea vegetables as much as possible is good, and possibly a supplement depending on the situation.
So then, go ahead.
I was going to say also different fibers too. So when you're talking about chia seeds and that, those are great. I usually also add in flaxseed because you're getting the benefit of fiber to help keep insulin levels low for the reasons we talked about, as well as flaxseed specifically has what's called lignans in them. And these compounds have a hormone balancing effect for women. So they, depending, doesn't really matter whether you're pre-menopause or going through the process or post-menopause, they balance out our estrogen levels, which will have a positive effect on thyroid also.
Oh, I love all these hormone talk.
Insulin,
estrogen levels. And then for the flax, how much would you recommend, like 2 tablespoons?
Yeah, so
day?
That's 2 tablespoons, I would consider a general maintenance dose. Okay. They did a very cool study that was directed at women who were experiencing hot flashes. So this would be, again, typically the hot flashes, night sweats will start in and around what we could say perimenopause, which is a vague term that just means my hormones are starting to shift. Mm-hmm. All the way through to menopause. So some women will have hot flash, night sweat symptoms for a very long period of time, like upwards of 10 or more years. And for other women, it'll be a very short time frame. But anyway, they in that study, they used 4 tablespoons for a period of 6 weeks and saw that there was about a 50% reduction in number of hot flashes and night sweats.
Wow.
So it's a lot, like I tell people you don't just run into 4 tablespoons of flaxseed without intentionally trying to get that in. So you really have to try and get the 4 tablespoons in, and make sure that it's ground up flaxseed too.
Well, and the thing is, and I love that as a strategy, because even right there, anyone who's listening, like 4 tablespoons might seem a lot, but that's a pretty easy strategy. You can start implementing today. To start, like you said, to, you know, lower insulin, to get that fiber in, to support your hormones, support your thyroid, support your adrenals. And that's like, it's not expensive either. You can just go to the health food store and get a bag and grind them up. And some different ideas too, just to even throw them in, like, you know, you can put them in a smoothie, you can put them mix them with your oatmeal, throw them in a salad. I actually even put... The one thing with flax seeds, though, is obviously you don't want to heat them because they're sensitive to heat, light, and air. They'll go rancid. So I tend to, sometimes I even mix them in with like a spread, like a hummus, and then I spread them on like a sandwich because you barely even notice them in there.
Oh yeah, they really have such a mild taste. It's just slight texture difference and that's it. Like, they're very versatile.
Awesome. So, okay, so that's some food, some lifestyle. And then what about for supplements? I know each gland, especially the thyroid adrenals, they like different things. So what would you recommend? So someone's not like, you know, like I am sometimes being, you know, a holistic nutritionist. Sometimes I have so many supplements, I sound like an old lady, like shaking with my pills. No vitamins though, but.
Yeah. So for different herbs in that. So when we're talking about all those three systems, usually, again, we try and figure out what system is kind of at the root of setting off that domino effect, you know? So if you're listening and you think, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of stress. I am a really busy person. My sleep has been horrible. I feel like that's probably what set off the kind of domino effect some of the symptoms that you have going on right now. Then focusing on, say, an adrenal herbs would be a great place to start, because we can try and stimulate your thyroid all we want, but if the adrenals are the issue, we're never going to quite get the results that we want to see. So now we're talking about adrenal herbs. The classification that we call them is adaptogenic herbs. So they just allow the body to adapt to stress better. So in that case, in terms of one go-to, there's a lot of products out there that have a combination of different herbs, and sometimes that's a good place to start if you're not sure. For example, if I'm working with somebody one-on-one, I'll try and figure out what other things are going on that may allow me to tailor that protocol to them a little bit better. But things like ashwagandha, rhodiola, those are really generally well tolerated and easily available herbs that will either be alone or in combination. If your sleep is off, then even targeting sleep isn't a bad idea with certain herbs like valerian or passion flower to help with sleep, melatonin, magnesium potentially too. Those things are great. So for adrenal stuff, those are great go-tos. If the thyroid gland itself is off, and often we'll see that on blood work, like if you're not producing enough of even that T4, that first hormone, looking at certain supplements to help stimulate the thyroid gland itself. Ashwagandha comes up again in the thyroid herbs, as well as different nutrients. So selenium, iodine potentially is a good option too. Again, there's lots of thyroid combination supplements out there, but I usually recommend patients to at least have a baseline testing of their full thyroid panel just to make sure there's no autoimmunity going on, so that we can better figure out which herbs would be most effective and safe.
Well, that's one thing I found for myself. I ended up, I was having crazy night sweats, like when I was 30 or 31. Mm-hmm. And I first just thought, oh, my room's really hot. And then this was before I really kind of dove into more learning about supplementation and really about the adrenals and thyroid. And I just thought, oh, my room's really hot. And I went to see, I was talking to a friend and she's like, you have hormonal issues for sure. And I'm like, what? No, I'm not going through menopause. Cause that's still, you know, that's still a stigma around it, is that if you're having hot flashes, you have to be going through menopause. But
yeah,
for me, I'm such a huge believer as well. And it took me a long time to get here, is that your body is always talking to you, you know, and it's, you just have to listen. Like it's these things that are happening. And a lot of times we get angry with our bodies because we have a rash or we're having night sweats or we're frustrated. But in all reality, if you just kind of become friends with your body and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me here? This is just trying to tell you something's out of whack. Okay. So anyways, long story short, I ended up, I actually did start taking, it was AOR, hormonal balance there. They have a blend. It's an adaptogenic blend.
Yeah.
And what a difference. It's like, obviously I did as well look at my lifestyle and make some changes, but even having that extra support, what a difference in helping me get through, especially like now I find I'll use
adaptogens when I'm, especially if I know I'm heading into a stressful period of time, or if I start to feel stressed out, just to really support the body during, like, because I know that stress is coming. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I have a lot of clients that do the same as you. They'll take the adaptogenic herbs during, say, the fall, winter, and then cycle off of them during the summer, because the summer is generally less stress overall. A lot of those adaptogenic herbs also help to support the immune system too. So you kind of get that extra benefit of hopefully not getting as sick over the course of the winter either.
Well, and is there any other vitamins too? Like, I know, you know, adrenals love B vitamins. Would you recommend doing B vitamins?
Yeah. So when we're talking about vitamins for hormone health, what we're really saying is we're trying to give the body the cofactors, or the vitamins that are used in the production of those hormones. So we're just giving your body all of the resources it needs so that it's easy for it to produce those hormones. And during times of stress, certain vitamins like the B vitamins, which are water soluble, they're processed out by the body like almost on a daily basis. So if you're going through added stress, you're going to be plowing through those vitamins much more quickly than normal. So the water soluble ones are important to look at, and that's all the B vitamins, like you said, specifically B5. So there's a lot of, you'll see some blends marketed as a stress blend, and you'll probably look at the label and see that they've really emphasized B5 or pantothenic acid because of its use in a lot of the adrenal, production of a lot of the adrenal hormones. Vitamin C is also used in a lot of the adrenal hormone production pathways, and most of the body's vitamin C is actually stored in the adrenal gland. So that's another one that's important to take.
Well, and that's, it's funny you brought that up, because I was just going to say one of my go-tos as well, and I actually do this every day no matter what, is I drink vitamin C powder in my water. You know, whether it's spring, summer, fall, winter, I always do, just as well to support the immune system. But, you know, I just know that, especially being in fitness, I'm go, go, go. I exercise on top of, you know, running businesses and things like that. So my stress levels can get through the roof. So I, like I was saying before, I just want to make sure I'm constantly supporting my body. And it's something that I give my clients as well as a recommendation. Because, again, speaking from personal experience, it's like, you don't want to wait until like shit hits the fan, for lack of a better term, you know, until something really bad happens, to start to look at your body and look at these systems and look at supporting them. And for a long time, I was very big on like, I don't take any pills, I don't take vitamins, I don't need supplements, I can get everything from nutrition. But if you can't, like, the quality of our food is not as good as it used to be. And plus, unless you're balancing everything out all the time, like half the time I'm eating on the go. Yeah, so it's just, I love, you know, I'm a big believer in having a good supplement. Not saying you have to take them all the time, and obviously talking to your practitioner, but having those as like backups. Like, don't wait till you're sick to support your body.
That's right. It's a lot easier to support the body and prevent than to treat.
Yeah, like even with my boyfriend, like he gets, and I'm totally going off topic here, but he gets cold sores. And, you know, always when he's under stress, his immune system's down, that's when they come up.
Yeah.
So since I've been forcing him to drink vitamin C powder, I just mix it in with, you know, a little bit of oranges and like, here's your shot every day. And one in the morning, one at night. His, the amount of cold sores he's had has gone down so much, but not necessarily that vitamin C is the cure for cold sores, but he's just been supporting his immune system. So it's not as weak. Yeah, it's my strategy. Just sneak in health till you can convert people. Don't come over to my house because you don't know what you're going to have in your drink.
That's right.
Here's some cereal. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So those are awesome. So just the one thing I want to ask for, I have a couple more questions after this, but so for someone who is going through menopause then, and just for everyone listening, we have an awesome new course that we're going to be launching sometime in the new year that's going to be focused around menopausal health. But if someone's going through menopause, is there anything additional that they should be doing? Because the one question I get a lot is from women who are in menopause and they're like, I cannot lose weight. I have, you know, it's all around the belly. I also am dealing with a ton of other issues. Like, if someone's going through menopause, is there a different approach to it?
A little bit, yes. So what's going on? So we touched on the importance of thyroid, obviously, and then the effect that adrenals have on the thyroid pathway. And the one thing that we didn't touch on yet is the effect that estrogen and progesterone have on the thyroid. So when we start entering into menopause, what happens is, in terms of what's going on in the body, is that our egg reserve is depleting. So as we get closer to menopause, we might ovulate 1 month and then we don't the next, and then we do and then we don't, and then it slowly kind of peters out until the egg reserve is gone, and once we've clocked a whole year without a period, then we're by definition into menopause. But what happens over the course of that kind of I'm ovulating, I'm not, my hormones are shifting period, is that your progesterone levels end up decreasing first. So that's the first hormone that will drop, is progesterone. And that's all fine and good, except for estrogen ends up staying where it was originally. So you can see that we now have this imbalance between the two. And we call this an estrogen dominant state. Now, there's a lot of symptoms that can go on in that state. It tends to be that we feel much more emotional. It tends to be that we, in terms of physically speaking, we have heavier periods, more painful periods, breast tenderness, lots of fun things come up physically in that time. But the imbalance also affects our thyroid function. So progesterone is needed to help with thyroid at a cellular level, and too much estrogen ends up binding up this thyroid, so it's not usable to the body. So take home message from all of that is that the imbalance that happens as a natural part of menopause can affect our thyroid and slow the metabolism. So it's very common to have people come in and say, I'm not doing anything different, I'm working out the same, I'm eating the same, and I'm putting weight on, and I do not understand why. So part of it is a normal process, but part of it is also a shift in what's going on in terms of our environment and even our bodies overall, because most of us are actually entering into menopause in a bit of an estrogen dominant state to begin with. So then add to that a progesterone drop, and we've got a huge discrepancy between those two hormones.
Oof. Sounds
yeah.
a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah. So all that to say is that the in and around the time of menopause, and that's why there's so much info in there that it really does take a course to go over all of that material so that you can understand it more. But know that what you're noticing is no fault of your own in terms of why am I gaining weight when I don't feel like I'm doing anything different. You're probably not doing anything different, but the way that these hormones are now affecting each other is slowing the metabolism. And now there's going to be an even more a heavier push for the adrenals to be a support and to produce some hormones during the transition time into menopause also. So yeah, we're going to end up we're going to use some different herbs usually at this point that have a more hormonal effect in terms of estrogen progesterone balance. And so those would include things like black cohosh, red clover, vitex, those types of things.
And those are all like available at the health food store. So if somebody was wanting to try them, they can go and, and get them. So Just for anyone listening, though, what exactly is progesterone?
So progesterone is it's a hormone that's produced from your ovaries when you ovulate. So its role in the body is a couple things. We used to think of it really just local to what's going on in the uterus and in and around pregnancy. We know that, you know, progesterone levels jump up, but we didn't really think of it much more than that. But we know that it has, yes, it has a role in the uterus. What it does is it balances out estrogen. So while estrogen may build your uterine lining every month, progesterone kind of acts as a break to that. So it says, okay, yeah, that's enough. So you don't, so that estrogen doesn't end up building too much of a lining, because if we build a thick uterine lining, where is that going to go at the end of the month? It's going to end up being a heavy, painful period potentially. But progesterone's also, there's receptors for progesterone throughout the entire body. So we know that it's also, there's also receptors for it in the brain, and that progesterone helps us to feel calm. So when we feel more anxious, even when we're talking about normal PMS symptoms, feeling anxious and irritable is actually a sign that your progesterone is out of balance. And so in and around menopause, when those hormones are really taking a big shift, those symptoms become much more obvious, where throughout the whole, it's like you have PMS the whole month, where you feel more, everybody's irritating and you know, you got
issues. And like, oh, maybe I'm going through menopause this month.
Yeah. So that's kind of its role though overall. So it's full body, has effect on every system, and because of its effect also on the thyroid, it has an effect even on your overall metabolic rate.
But that's why I love that we're talking about this and we're going to be launching a course in it, because I think it's so misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even myself as a woman, I never even understood my monthly cycle, what was even happening within my body, up until I started getting interested in holistic health. And because it's not something that really we talk about at school, or we teach our young kids. You know, the first thing we're doing is just, you know, hoping they don't get pregnant and slapping everybody on birth control. So it's kind of, I just think it's so important, because it opens your eyes to so many other things that are happening in your body and why they could be happening. You know what I mean? Like, it just gives you a lot of ownership over your own body and over your own health.
Exactly.
And as you start to understand the hormones, the symphony is how they all play together, then it really, you can, you know, even for me, I'd kind of be like, okay, this is happening in my body, and like kind of going through my own little, not diagnosis, but my own inventory of what's happening. And I can start to kind of understand, oh, I probably am really stressed out right now. Or, you know, oh yeah, it's because it's this time of the month for me, so my hormone levels are here, you know, like.
And even just having that understanding makes a big difference, right? Like,
yes,
it doesn't feel like you're so lost in the mix of, I don't even, because it's so common for people to come in and say, I just don't feel like I know this body anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible feeling, you know?
Completely. I mean, I've talked very openly on this podcast about my own struggle with an eating disorder. I dealt with bulimia for 15 years. And tied in with that, obviously, is the mental health aspect and anxiety. But once I started to learn and really focus on learning about my body and health and knowing how to support it from in a total health way, in a holistic way, it's insane looking back. Like, I feel like I don't even know that person. And that person, it was like I was just living in a shell. Like, I was so separate from my body. And just being able to, you know, be able to support your body and your health in a holistic way, it changes not only the way that you look, it helps balance your weight, it changes the way you feel, it makes you feel stronger emotionally. Like, I don't know. I just think everybody should learn this stuff.
I agree.
I'm going to be preaching it to the schools. Great too. We need to learn about our periods. No, that's a little bit early, but, but yeah, so awesome. Cause I do have a couple more questions. So for somebody then who, you know, maybe they're like, I don't think it's my thyroid, I don't think it's my adrenals. We did talk a little bit about insulin. What is it when it comes to blood sugar management? So insulin obviously is the storage hormone.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure that that insulin is balanced? And how do you make sure that you also are being able to tap into stored fat? Yeah. Like, if someone's looking to lose weight, there's a lot of misunderstanding around the process that actually happens in the body when it comes to weight loss.
That's right. And there's a whole nother kind of combination of hormones that work together, both in terms of whether your body is going to be in burn mode or whether it's going to be in store mode. And so things that put us more into storage mode are things that trigger that insulin response. So that's the carbohydrates. And when we say carbohydrates, sometimes that's a bit confusing too, because carbohydrates just are mean that, I mean, it includes things like grains, yes, but it also includes things like fruits. Like all these things break down into sugars, vegetables, like all these things affect our body's total carbohydrate load. So often people say, well, I eat a ton of fruit and that's really healthy, and that is healthy, but we still need to be aware that even fruit sugars, which are going to affect our body's release of that insulin hormone. On top of that are things like all those carbohydrates also tend to trigger other hormones that are involved in craving pathways. So we know that higher sugar foods are going to stimulate what's called the dopamine pathway. And that's the reward pathway in our brain that's triggered in a good way by saying, oh, I feel full and satisfied after that meal. But in a negative way, it can be, I just can't get enough of that food. I never feel full. I want more and more and more. And the same parts of the brain that are stimulated in that sense are even stimulated with different, with alcohol and different drugs too, that give you that short-term feeling of feeling good.
Well, that's why when you see all these articles lately about how sugar is more addictive than heroin.
Exactly.
Because exactly that, it's triggering those same pathways. And that's exactly why it's really hard for a lot of people who, especially if you already have issues with addiction and things like that, it's like, it seriously is a full-on addiction.
It is. And so those foods will, you can see the cycle that ends up forming that, I mean, yes, these foods trigger these craving pathways, but then they also trigger, in terms of what's going on in the physical body, it triggers the release of insulin. So we just have more insulin kicking around all the time. And when that's going on, your body is holding on very tightly to those calories, almost as if you were in a state of famine, and that, you know, your body thinks that we can't let any of these go because if we do, we don't know when this person's ever going to eat again. And that's just not the situation that most of us luckily have to deal with. But at the same time, hormonally, that's exactly what's going on. And so to shift that, you really have to play around with the amount of what we say the macronutrients or the carbs, fats, and proteins. And again, there's different intensities of how you want to do that. You can start with either just reducing or go all the way to eliminating, which is more like a ketogenic-like diet. Whether you do it in the short term or long term to shift those different hormone pathways.
Because that's the thing I think a lot of people also don't understand, is that it's carbohydrates are what really affect affect insulin release. Mm-hmm. And like you said, they're all broken down to sugar in the body. So whether you're eating that whole grain bread or you're eating, you know, grapes, like it's all having the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So like you were saying, so to shift to be more of a fat burner, it would be to reduce the carbohydrate intake or play with those ratios between the fats and the protein.
Exactly.
I just always think though, it's the way kind of things are going right now is we're still in that mindset. We're kind of looking for that secret sauce. You know what I mean? Like that one diet that's going to fix it. And I know keto is right now the very popular way to go. So I always, every time we talk about keto, I always just like to say to everybody, just make sure that you're doing it still real whole food keto and not, you know what I mean? Like just having pounds of cream cheese and dairy and all of these other things, because a lot of these diets tend to go like haywire. You know, it's like eat bacon at every single meal. It's like, no. Healthy fats.
Exactly. Because even within, when we end up starting to talk too much about just the macronutrients of this many grams of proteins, fats, and carbs, within that, it's like, I could do that in a very healthy way. I could hit those targets by consuming, you know, quite a few veggies and healthy meats and good healthy fats and all of that. Or I could just sub in bacon and still hit those, yeah. hit those macros and not have a really balanced nutritional intake.
No, completely. Like, I always think that, you know, real whole foods first, and then, you know, then look at the macro breakdown and the quantity of it. Okay, so we're going to start to wrap this up. Do you have any resources, though, or blogs or books that you recommend for someone who's trying to understand their hormones a little bit more, especially if they're looking to lose weight and they think that there is something out of whack there?
Yeah, so a couple different resources for people to check out. One would be Dr. Natasha Turner's book. So she's a Toronto-based naturopathic doctor, and she writes in a very easy to understand manner and lots of checklists and things for you to look through to see patterns of, because you can see that even with the hormones we talked about today, there's a lot of overlap of symptoms between a thyroid imbalance and an adrenal imbalance and an estrogen progesterone imbalance. And it can be kind of, I mean, it's confusing on a good day. And when you're looking at your own health, it's harder to even see those patterns. So being able to look at different checklists is useful, and her book does a great job of that, plus practical recipes. And also through the North American Menopause Society, they have a lot of resources on that website just about what is menopause and what is going on with hormones. And so they've got a lot of good research-based information on their website too.
Oh, great. I love Dr. Natasha Turner's stuff. And I just think, yeah, I think it's so great to have. I always ask for resources because I think it's so great to have, for people after the fact, some go-tos. Because like I was saying, like when you start to understand your body and understand what's happening within it, you can kind of, you know, come at it from a place of kindness as opposed to as a place of like, what are you doing to me?
Exactly.
So Cheryl, we're going to wrap this up. I always also like to end too with a question for you. And this could be, I want you to give one piece of life advice, and it could be about weight loss or not. It could be completely about hormones or not, but that would just help women live fiercer, happier, and healthier. What would your one piece of life advice be?
I think I would say, because this is something I'm working on for myself too, is working on acceptance and accepting things and life as they are right now. And whether they're in the process of going somewhere or whether they feel stagnant or whether they feel difficult or happy but just to accept and be grateful for life as it is in this moment. And with that, to be able to move forward. It's hard for me because I've got too many things going on sometimes that I feel that I'm either, either things are going great and then I feel like I'm great because right now in this moment things are great. And then in 2 minutes later, I could have, you know, a full breakdown with all the kids and feel like the worst mom and I can't balance anything and I can't, you know, do everything that I need to do. And then feel like that reflects back on my person and myself as a human being. So I'm trying to just work on accepting and not attaching a judgment to that, but allowing myself to just to be and to be grateful for this moment, whatever it is.
Well, I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I am very grateful for you because I always love your absolute transparency and your honesty and how from the moment I met you, you have been such an awesome influence in my life too. And I've learned so much from you. So I'm very excited to have you on today to share your knowledge with everybody else, whoever is listening out there.
Laura, love you too.
So with that, we're going to wrap this up. So for anyone who wants more information on Cheryl or how to get in contact with her, she also does take distance patients. So she does do online online appointments. So I'm going to put that all on our blog and on our website so you can link to her from there. And then, of course, we also have under Fit Chicks Academy, we have our upcoming Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Program starting October 24th. And you can get more information on that at fitchicksacademy.com, as well as on any of our other upcoming programs. And we will keep you posted on when Cheryl will be back for round two. Okay, with that, have an amazing day, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.